Hello and welcome to radio once more.
Well, I guess that's a cue for me to talk. Hello, happy Halloween. This is Anne Robinson calling.
Yes, and Anne Robinson, of course, was the female lead in the 1953 War of the Worlds movie.
Well, thank you for that applause.
And
that's
Anne, I am so
you.
Glad that you can be with us.
Oh, it's a thrill every year. I get so excited that suddenly I realize it's the 30th, and oh my goodness, I was back there a few years ago, and I enjoyed myself so much, and I can close my eyes and know exactly where you are. I loved it. We just finished a beautiful golden sunset. That's why it's called the Golden State in California. We have a beautiful blue sky and not a cloud in it, and a gorgeous sunset. So I guess we're on our way for Halloween.
So, Anne, what was your, like, maybe favorite moment in making that film? And what really do you remember?
Oh, gosh, the favorite moment, I guess, is the one everybody likes with the hand on my shoulder. That was a lot of fun to do because I couldn't feel a thing. Charles Gamora was in the costume, and his daughter was guiding him along on a dolly because, of course, the Martian didn't walk. And so he was sort of rolled in carefully, and then she took his arm by the elbow and placed it on my shoulder because he couldn't see me and I couldn't feel him. So that was just a fun afternoon doing that. And, of course, the lovely scene between Gene Barry and me in the farmhouse when I was basting. I fried those eggs. I actually did. I cracked them and I fried them in the skillet, and then the first time when I picked them up on the spatula, they all slipped right off. So we had to do that all over again.
But and no, I will mention to our listeners that we have that picture with the hand on the shoulder up on our Facebook, so if you want to check that out at Radio Once More. I'm sorry to interrupt.
Radio
Go ahead.
Radio Once More. Maybe you better email that to your brother back in New York so he can listen in. Yes, I got my whole family back in New Jersey listening in. And my daughter-in-law, Barbara Colgrove Bravo, her Aunt Betty was going to school very close to Princeton. She was going to be a nurse, and she was in a little private school near Princeton the night that this all happened. And she said it was truly a panic. They made the girls all pack their bags and go into a room, and they said they'd then just to wait and see what would happen. So she wrote a long letter to me exactly the fear and the fright that they had because she was just a young girl in college. And she said it truly was a night, really a night to remember.
Wow.
Hello, Anne Robinson. This is Johnny Holmes here with Radio Once More. It's an honor to chat with you. I'd like to ask you a question or two, if I may.
Oh, I hope you do.
First of all, I love your red hair. I know that's not
you.
A question.
I still got it.
But my
as long
question...
as they keep making that color, I've got it.
Now, I think most of us here would agree that the 1953 version of War of the Worlds is easily one of the top science fiction films of all time.
I think so, too, and I'm so lucky to have been chosen to be in it.
Now, back when you were filming this, it was early in your career. Did you have any type of inkling that this was going to be the special film that it is now a classic?
Well, George Pal was such a genius at what he did. There'd be no doubt that it was going to be a very successful movie. And of all the movies that he made, I believe that had the highest budget. And because Cecil B. DeMille owned the rights to it, it couldn't help but be the quality film that it is today. And because they were both geniuses. There was no doubt in it. And when we had the 25th anniversary on Hollywood Boulevard, I was sitting in the back row with George Pal and his lovely wife, and I asked him about it. Did you have any idea that 25 years later everyone would be so excited? And, of course, he said, well, of course I did. But no, modest as he was, that charming man, it couldn't help but be a success with him and Cecil B. DeMille at the helm.
Well, it definitely was a memorable performance. Now, I want to ask you, flash forward, 2005, both you and Gene Barry played grandparents.
Yes, we did.
We were
the big act at the end of Spielberg's movie, and we couldn't tell anybody that we were in it. It was a big secret, and I was thrilled to death that Steven Spielberg asked me to be in it. George Pal's film was his absolute favorite film of all times, and he said he fell in love with the heroine when he was a young man, and it was so much fun that we got to meet. And I really thought he didn't want to touch George Pal's movie whatsoever. And like, we get so much criticism about the two movies. They weren't supposed to be alike. It may have a similar story line about Martian's landing, but nevertheless, it was a completely, he approached it differently and made a true ugly war that it was in the original book so many years ago.
I imagine you got quite a greeting when you appeared on the set for this film, since you're
returning
alumni.
Everybody kept saying, she's here, she's here. Oh, my God, she's here, she's here. And so my son said, Mother, I think you're a big celebrity here. And I said, I had no idea. The reception I got was wonderful. And I got a big hug from Tom Cruise. My goodness, be directed by Steven Spielberg and hugged by Tom Cruise. It can't get any better than that.
Yeah, there you go.
That's fantastic.
Was it strange for you the first time that maybe you sat down and saw the film in your home when it's being replayed years later? How does that feel?
Well, I'd seen it quite a few times by that time, but the first time I saw it was at a sneak preview over at a theater on Beverly and Fairfax, and that was a big shock. I had seen some of the rushes that we had, the scenes that we had done the day before, but I had never seen it put together, and so with all the special effects. That was quite a thrill. And then all those years later, I think it came out with a big splash on television about 1965. And my poor son, my youngest son, is Stefan Bravo. He was scared to death. Being living over at his grandfather's house and his grandmother's house, they were news critics. They never had a program on in that house except for the news. So when my little boy saw City Hall blown up, he absolutely had a fit, and my father had to drive him downtown that very night to prove to him that Los Angeles was still intact, that it wasn't a newsreel, it was only a movie.
Oh, my. That is just, and it just had to be so exciting to be a part of that.
Oh, it's a thrill. I never get tired of watching the movie. Every time we watch it, we see the genius behind it, how this movie was put together, the art direction. Everything about it was done with such care and brilliance. Everybody was a genius in their fashion. That's why it's held up so beautifully all these years, without a doubt. It is something that'll hold up. I can't believe it's over 60 years old now. And I think in another 60 years, they'll be still watching it.
Oh, yeah. How long did it actually take to make the movie?
Well, I didn't have to. We started about late January, early February, and probably a month or so for the principals and live action. And then after that, it wasn't released until November of 1954. We did it. No, 1953. We did it in that's correct. I'm trying to remember my dates. We started in 52, and it took all of 52, and then it came out in the following year in 1953, in November in Los Angeles, August in New York. But the majority of the time was done on special effects, all done by hand, not a computer in sight.
Oh, my.
All done by genius.
I have to tell you, this has been such a thrill to talk to you again. Wow. That is
kind of neat.
Well, my
thrill has been to come down to Grover's Mill and see everything.
And thank you so much for joining us.
It was chock full of holes. That was the most fun. I still have some wonderful pictures being there. It was a wonderful, lovely, lovely afternoon, and everyone was so gracious. Now, I'm going over to the Westin Hotel tomorrow and Sunday.
Uh-huh.
We're having a convention over there.
Oh,
that's very close to the airport, Los Angeles Airport. And I have my coffee, my Grover's Mill coffee from Out of This World. I have my T-shirt, and I have my mug. But what I don't have are your cards, your business cards. I keep asking for business cards because I try to hand them out and give them to everybody because they've got to have a taste of that coffee from that's not from this world.
Hey, Ann, it's Frank. How are you?
Oh, Frank, oh, my goodness, it's so wonderful to talk with you.
Thank you. Happy anniversary.
This is such a thrill and such a privilege to be asked to speak on your anniversary. I just love it.
Oh, we would never forget you.
Oh, please. Well, send me those cards. I keep asking for them, but I don't get any.
Well, actually, Mickey will get me to do it. So I will get them to you.
You better do it, because I said I've got the mug ready to go, and I have your T-shirt on, and all your coffee and tea.
Well, you know what? We have some new goodies, too, so we're going to have to send you a care package.
On my table with your picture of the when it was a little red barn before it became the coffee house. I've got everything there for people to see, but no cards to hand out, so you've got to get those out to me. Now that I'm starting back again doing conventions, I want to have those cards.
We will get them to you and more.
Oh, well, no, the cards will be fine. You've already given me so much.
How's the Stefan doing?
I love everything. And people said, "Are you selling coffee?" And I said, "Well, sorta. I'm sorta selling it. At least I'm hoping you'll buy it through me."
You are definitely our number one spokesperson.
Oh, you're so sweet. No, I miss coming back there. I had such a good time meeting all of you, and we always laughed that Frank was there. The mayor wasn't there, but Frank was there. we were always laughing about that.
It was a great day when we met you out there. And you matched the foliage.
Yeah. I did. I have that picture, that beautiful picture with the lake and behind me, and all the trees were all that glorious golden orange. So whenever I go to my hairdresser, I take that picture and I say, "That's the color I want."
Well, Ann, you know, it's always great to talk to you. We love you. We miss you, and we hope the next time you're out east, we can see you.
Oh, but Nikki and I will get you a care package because we know you're a best hugger, I wouldn't miss it for anything. I just love all you folks. You're so gracious, and I have such a good time talking with you on your anniversary. Gosh, in 2 years, it's going to be 60 years? 80 years. It'll be 80 years in 2 years.
Yep. You're going to have to come out and spend it with us.
I'll do my best.
Okay, Mickey and I will work on getting you out here.
Someone will be kind enough to invite me back for a convention, and I can get over there. I would love to see you all again.
Mickey's giving me the thumbs up for us to bring you out here for the 80th anniversary.
Oh, that'll be exciting. I'll look forward to it.
Okay. Take care, Ann. We love you.
Thank you so much for calling. Thank you so much. It's such a privilege talking with you and being remembered at this most important day of the year for everyone, because it's so lovely being connected to War of the Worlds, and now I was 9 years old when the broadcast came, and I could have heard it, but I guess my mother and father made me go to bed because it was probably came on a little bit too late for me at that age, and they were probably listening to Charlie McCarthy, so I regret having missed the broadcast.
Well, thank you. You're a part of that history now too.
I'm thrilled.
Can we have a hand for Ann, folks?
have you heard from anybody from
we'll be in touch soon with you, okay?
Oh, I hope so. God bless you all, and thank you so much. Thanks so much for calling me. It's my honor that you remember me. Thank you.
Thanks, Ann. God bless you.
God bless you all. Bye-bye. Happy Halloween.
Once more.